Good morning and welcome to the worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on this sixth Sunday of Easter. We're joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, our musical director, Dave Valerio, and our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville. So, Pastor Glenn, will you please call us to worship?
Make haste to answer me, O Lord, my spirit fails. In the morning, let me hear of your steadfast love, for in you I put my trust. Teach me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Let us call ourselves to worship. Lord, you blessed your disciples with your word, which displayed your truth. May your word dwell in us richly as we function as the members of your body in this world. Protect us from evil and strengthen us with your power. We are united by your word and your spirit as we pray the prayer you taught your original disciples, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the time when we share announcements, but first I'd like to begin by reading the warrant for our special meeting that's coming up next Sunday. In accordance with the bylaws of Central Congregational Church, Article 6, Section 2C, a special meeting is called for Sunday, May 23rd, 2021, following the 10 o'clock Zoom worship service. The purpose of the meeting is to act upon the following business. Article 1, to discuss and vote on purchasing equipment and implementing a plan to continue an online worship presence when we return to worship safely in the sanctuary. Article 2, to discuss and vote on upcoming improvements to the sanctuary and properties. And Article 3, to act upon any other business that may come before the special meeting. And this is signed by Kate Marsland, who is moderator and chair of the Executive Council. This particular meeting, though, will be moderated by Bob Avoyan, our vice moderator. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Sherilyn, would you like to say anything about Children's Day next week?
Yeah, this morning was our last day of Sunday school classes for this year. And next Sunday, we'll kind of conclude our Sunday school year with our last Family Sunday / Children's Day. So you'll want to join us next week. I think a few of our children will be participating in this service. So that'll be next Sunday at 10 o'clock.
Okay, thank you very much, Sherilyn, and thank you for all of your work that you've done with the Sunday school this year to try to keep them interested in Sunday school. We hope in September we might be back in person. Absolutely. Does anyone else have an announcement they would like to make at this time? Feel free to unmute yourself and speak up. Hearing no more announcements, Mr. Dave, would you please tell us about the hymn that we're going to sing?
Yes. Good morning, everybody. And I just wanted to say I really enjoyed Sherilyn's playing on Because He Lives. It sounded great this morning. And the opening hymn was We Gather Together. We all know that one. And the song we're going to sing now, the hymn is Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. And if you go down to the chat area, it has been posted in the chat area. Click on that and you'll see the words, or you received an email this week from Kathy. There's three verses and there's a little instrumental between the second and third verse. So just keep that in mind and stay on mute and we'll sing it together. Blessed be the tie that binds.
Blessed be the tie that binds the hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our want, our comforts, and our cares. Other's woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows with sympathizing tears.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dave. As always, it seems like your music is just in tune with my sermon, as was the prayer that Pastor Glenn offered today. And so it feels good to be together at this time. This is the time we share our celebrations. Nancy Melendi, I forgot how old she is, but Nancy told us that Carolyn Farrell is celebrating her 93rd or 95th birthday. She probably won't mind if we take a few years off for her. But our thoughts and prayers are with Carolyn Farrell. Are there any other celebrations that you would like to mention today?
Again, I have a celebration.
Okay, Madison.
My brother graduated college on Thursday the 13th.
Very nice. Congratulations to him and to your family. That's wonderful.
Any I have a celebration.
Yes, Dave.
Today is my first day playing back outside at Captain Al's restaurant. And hopefully I'm there every Sunday from 1 to 5. So it was supposed to be last week, but they, of course, got closed down because they had a case of COVID. Uh-huh. So we're not out of this yet, but I'm hoping to make it there today. And I should be there every Sunday through the summer. So if anybody ever wants to come down to Wareham on a nice Sunday, I'll be there. But I'm happy to be back playing.
That's great. And I think we can celebrate the fact that they are loosening up now on the masks. And so it seems to be a good sign that we'll be able to be back in church soon as well. And maybe we should just get a whole bunch of people together and come down and see you at Captain. It's not Captain Davy, though, is it? Very good, Dave. Any other celebrations? Then let us turn to our concerns as the church family. We pray this morning for all of the people who are ill and for others who are in need of prayer for any occasion. And so we pray today for Loretta and for Jennifer, for Sue Winship, for Sandy Thibodeau's grandson, Anthony, We pray for Julie Goss's brother-in-law, Bert. Ed Dyer is in Sturdy Hospital again, and he's not doing awfully well. So thoughts and prayers are with Ed and Janet. We pray for Sue LaFortune, still recovering from her surgery. We pray for Marie and Tyson Bowles' sister, Lee, for Jane and her family, for Brigida, for Len, who is at home in hospice care, and his wife, Nancy, for Bobovoy and sister Marge, for Corinne, for the Bishop Fan hockey player, AJ. We continue to pray for him, for Tyler, for Ken McCatton, who had surgery but is home and I think is doing better and better. There are two people that we are asked to pray for. Tomorrow, I believe it is, the Donna Hickey. Dave's significant other is going into surgery tomorrow. And Jen Meyerdirk's daughter-in-law, Brianna, is also facing surgery tomorrow. And we pray for those who are in the nursing homes and assisted living, Jackie Glass, Carolyn Farrell, and Doris Brunel. And of course, we continue to pray for all of the people who are still suffering from the effects of COVID-19 and all of our healthcare workers. We pray for those who suffer from addictions, for the well-being of our nation. We pray for our communities as this pandemic does indeed continue. So please join with me in prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the leadership of our church, of our denomination, and of our national leaders who are guiding us through this pandemic. We pray also for families, even though families may be apart. We are grateful for the technology that allows us to see one another and be together, especially at times such as these. We pray for your guidance for parents as they struggle to affirm wholesome principles in a world of craziness at this point and full of scary problems. And we pray for your presence to be in our lives every day that we live. We pray as well for your presence to be with those who are part of this church family we call Central Congregational Church. May your strength and healing be with all of those whose names we have already mentioned, as well as those whose names we now lift up into your presence during this time of silence. Grace us with your Holy Spirit, the comforter that Jesus sent following his ascension. Strengthen our families and our church family as instruments of doing your will and extending your love. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
God will take care of you. Every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
For our scripture lesson today, we return to the Gospel of John for a look at the final prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples and the world before facing his crucifixion. Some biblical scholars refer to this as the real Lord's Prayer. He's not addressing these words to his disciples, but of course to God. I'll be reading from John chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. Please hear these words. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and ask for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. Here's a very easy question for us this morning. What is the meaning of life? Yeah, I think you understand that that's not a very easy question, is it? How often do we find ourselves pondering that very question, especially with our world in disarray due to the worldwide pandemic and so much unrest across the entire globe? Shakespeare reveals a darkness in his famous words of Macbeth. Macbeth has heard that the queen is dead and he knows that his own death is imminent. And that is when he delivers his famous soliloquy, which ends with these words. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Boy, that's a downer, isn't it? Other people are a little more upbeat. Anne Frank, for example, was a true optimist. She wrote these words: how wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world. She was an optimist right up to her death at Bergen-Belsen concentration camp, having contracted typhus when she was imprisoned. One of my father's favorite presidents was Theodore Roosevelt. I think he was named after him. His name was Theodore. And Theodore Roosevelt said, "Believe you can, and you're halfway there." Vincent van Gogh, the great Dutch painter, said, "If you hear a voice within you say you cannot paint, then by all means paint, and that voice will be silenced." Babe Ruth said, "Every strike brings me closer to the next home run." Mark Twain, one of my absolute favorites in this life, is probably closer to the mark. He said, "The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why." Is Macbeth right? Is life nothing but a shadow having no substance, no meaning? Writers and philosophers since recorded time have tried to answer that question, and I don't think any of them have been successful in answering it to everyone's satisfaction. It comes as no surprise that Jesus deals with this question, and he does indeed answer it. Surprisingly, the answer is not given in the context of an argument with the Jewish leaders, or even in a discussion with his disciples. It's not found in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus deals with so many fundamental issues. It is telling that Jesus deals with the meaning of life in the context of prayer. In today's scripture reading, we have his final prayer before his arrest and crucifixion. And as Wayne mentioned, it is often referred to by biblical scholars as the real Lord's Prayer. It is the one in which Jesus prayed for his friends, the apostles. Jesus knew that his ministry and his life were both drawing to a close. He had already submitted himself to God's will. He knew that his arrest and trial was going to be very public, very humiliating, very violent, with a death that would throw his apostles into turmoil. Put yourself in the place of Jesus' friends who had envisioned a brand new world order with Jesus on the throne and all of them around that throne. Imagine seeing Jesus' arrest and torture and death through their eyes. Wouldn't you be overwhelmed with grief and fear and questions and doubts? I think I would have been. And so Jesus did a miracle to save his own life and continue his ministry. Nope, Jesus did not do that. And so Jesus appeared to his apostles with a host of angels around him so they would never again doubt his divine nature. Again, no, he didn't do that. And so Jesus supernaturally took his apostles with him to heaven so that they wouldn't have to suffer in any way because of their faith in him. No, that's not what happened either. Jesus could have done all of those things. Think of that. Jesus had done any of those things, you and I would never have heard about Jesus. There would have been no one left to hear what Jesus had preached. And so Jesus, in his last hours on this earth, did what he had always done throughout his ministry. He took his concerns to a loving God in prayer. Jesus prayed for others. He prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for all of those people he had never met, people who hadn't even been born yet, generations of people yet to be born who would come to believe in him as their Lord and Savior. In other words, in his last hours on earth, Jesus prayed for you and for me. And what an incredible gift of love that is. Our Bible passage today shows that Jesus was at his very best in his darkest moment. He was calm, confident in God's love and God's plan for him. In fact, he was so confident that Jesus barely felt the need to pray for himself. Instead, he prayed for his apostles who would be left behind to continue his work. He knew they were weak, that they were scared, that they were unprepared, just as we would be weak and scared and unprepared under similar circumstances. And that is exactly why prayer is the first and best cure for dealing with our own dark moments. There's a true story that Admiral William McCraven of the United States Special Forces Operation Command tells of his training as a Navy SEAL. One technique that the SEALs practice regularly, according to Admiral McCraven, is how to perform underwater attacks against enemy ships. It's a grueling and risky operation. Two SEAL divers are dropped off at night at least 2 miles away from an enemy harbor. With only a depth gauge and a compass, the two divers must swim at least 2 miles underwater in the dark to reach the enemy ship. But that isn't the hardest part of the mission. The hardest part of the mission is when the divers have to dive below the ship to the very center of its hull. Underneath the huge steel ships, there's no light whatsoever. The divers must complete the rest of the mission in total darkness. And it is only because they prepare so thoroughly beforehand that they're able to operate with total skill and composure in the dark. Admiral McCraven concludes his story by saying, "If you want to change the world, you must be your very best in the darkest moments." The one prayer that God always answers is a prayer for strength to endure. Jesus prayed for the apostles so that they would find strength during their times of suffering. That was a prayer that was answered time and time again. It's a prayer that some of us have prayed as well, because God is faithful and God does not forget us in our time of need. Jesus prayed for his friends. He prayed that they would be strong. He also prayed that they would be united. "Protect them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one." That's the motto that the United Church of Christ assumed in 1957 when we joined together with two other denominations at that time, that they may all be one. That is such an important message for us. We're not simply a collection of individuals, we are the body of Christ. It is vitally important that we in the church pull together, that we are united. It's also not such a bad prayer for our nation in this time of terrible divisiveness. Jesus is praying for us to be strong. I don't know about you, but that's a prayer that I need daily. And secondly, it's a prayer to be united. So we could start by praying with our friends. We could also pray for our church, our nation, and the world. And finally, we could pray for ourselves that we will truly be strong enough and that we will always love one another. And we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God will be faithful to answer that prayer until the day, as Mark Twain said, we find out the real purpose for why we were born. Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, build yourselves and one another up in your faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you all for being in worship today, and welcome to our virtual coffee hour.